We have been so messed up by television and all the garbage in between that we forget to speak like God. The more I learn about what is going out, the more disgusted I get. I was talking to Jesus about this thing, and the Lord said, well, it's your task to teach the people to talk like God, not like the garbage that they have heard on television and every other social network. So today, I want to go over with you on a few things that will help you to improve your life. I want to start by going to James 1:22. And there is a reason why I'm going to do what I'm going to do today. Most of us, we go through the scriptures. We are able to go through the scripture 10 times a year. And yet, by the end of the year, we remember nothing. You know what, brother? Give me the New Living Translation over there. Let me start with the New Living Translation. And I want you to read it with me. Let's read it. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Don't just listen to God's word. It's good that you listen. Do it. Do it. How do I do that? If a God says you're healed, what do you say?
I'm healed.
And then you act as a healed person. It is easy to hear the word of God, keep it for a few days, and then let it evaporate and go back to the same old pattern. You know, one of the parts of my life that I like less is my body. My flesh. It's the most useless thing that can ever be, unless it is busy with the things of God. Here's some example. I'm going to be teaching next week. This week you're going to love on the menu. It's the title of Sunday morning service. Love in the menu. And today, this coming Sunday, you're going to learn something that you may have never heard in your life. I'll give you a clue right now. Most of human beings, I'd say 95% of human beings on planet Earth, never ever really loved their spouses. What? What? You got acquainted, you got used. In the beginning, it was physical attraction. Somewhere among the middle was physical support. And in the end, it's companionship. Few people will ever achieve the level of love that we're supposed to have for our spouses. And I'm among them too. Very, very, I'd say maybe not even 5%, but that's Sunday morning. So I'm going to be talking about love in the menu. But the following week, we're going to continue with the series, Devil, You Can't Have It. And next week is, Devil, You Can't Have My Children. That's going to be next Sunday. And I want to just tell you that there's going to be situations in life that you will need to take some desperate measures. Desperate situation calls for desperate measures. And the greatest enemy that you have is not your spouse, it's your stinking flesh. On the day that you decide to fast, you're going to have a headache. On the day that you're going to decide to fast, every joint in town is cooking that food that you can smell a mile away. On the day that you decide to fast, you're going to be dizzy. I can do this. I'm already dizzy. My head's spinning. He says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. So we're still together here, right? When we go to John 6, 63, Jesus makes clear why you should do what the Word of God says that you should do. Why would you do that? Because the words of Jesus carries in themselves power. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. Now let's get a little holy here. Give me the New King James Version, brother. Listen to this. The New King James. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Useless flesh of ours. He goes on to say, the words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. When I listen to the Word of God and I do the Word of God, it will bring life into my body. It will bring life into my spirit. It will bring life into my whole being. Another word that I should do the Word of God instead of only listening is found in Romans 12, 21. Watch this. Romans 12, 21 is another reason why I should do that. Let's read it. Do not be overcome by evil. When I go out and I do the Word of God, evil will not be able to overcome me because I am doing the Word of God. So what is the big deal about the Word of God? Psalms 119, verse 89, tells us why you and I should be doing the Word of God. We've been told to do it, not only to listen. And we know that when we do it, it will bring life and health to us. We know that by doing the Word of God, we will overcome evil. And the Word carries so much power in itself because it stands firm. Where? Let's think about this for a moment. Your eternal Word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Why doesn't the Word stand firm on earth? Because God's people don't speak it. Because God's people don't do it. Why do we have to make things so complicated? Are you with me here? It stands firm in heaven. Because what God says goes. Say amen. Amen. On earth, God says, but we don't do it. It can't stand firm. In the old days when they used to make cars, they had a tire and they had something inside the tire that was called inner tube. Y'all know that?
Yes.
Well, you can have the best tire in the world, but if your inner tube is not filled up, you have a flat. Are you with me? The only way that that tire could work and carry you to places, it had to have an inner tube with air on it. And it's supposed to be inflated with the air. Are you with me? God's Word is firm at all times. But we got to fill ourselves with it so that it can stand even firmer on planet Earth. Now, the Backslider translation has it a little crazy, but I still want to show you. Watch this. What you say goes, God, and it stays as permanent as the heavens. Did you get that? What God says goes. This is why I gotta do the Word of God, because what God says goes. Plain and simple. There's no beating around the bush. God's Word will never change. And we, as the body of Christ, from all people, should know this better than anybody else. So, if the first verse says that we're supposed to do the Word of God, you and I should be talking like this. I am going to establish God's Word in this world by proclaiming it. Amen? Say it with me. I am going to establish God's Word on this earth and upon my life by proclaiming it in Jesus' name. I was talking to somebody 3 months ago. And this person claims to be, I don't know, I don't want to judge anybody, the kid on the block when it comes to spiritual things. The little time that we spent talking, this man would have prophesied like 10 times within 10 minutes. And I'm listening. And the person asked me, don't you like the prophecies? I said, actually, I don't. Why? I said, prophecies for lousy people. Excuse me? Prophecies for lousy people. What in the world are you talking about? The only time that Israel had the prophets come to them was when they were in disobedience. In the New Testament, when the prophecy came, was God giving people heads up to what is about to happen. And why did God do that? Because people are stubborn. They don't want to hear God. They don't want to listen to the Word of God. So God still had to use some kind of amulet to get them going. So I said, I am not stubborn. I am in the Word of God. We are in tune. We talk every morning. Why do I need a prophecy? I don't need nobody to tell me what God is saying because I'm talking to God every morning. And it's not difficult. All of a sudden, I go, oh! What happened? I don't know. I'm feeling a pain on my side. I just went in. Spirit of sickness and disease, get out of this man in the name of Jesus right now. Whatever the cause of the pain is, get out in the name of Jesus. Mind you, we are here in a Walmart. So people start looking. What in the world is going on here? And the spirit of pain, get off. Get off of this man in the name of Jesus. And I went on and on and on. He goes, man, what was that? I said, I don't know. You're the prophet. A Walmart employee came and asked, what just happened here? I said, I kind of used my faith to help this brother. He's going through the stuff he's going to buy. Then she asked, are you a healer? I said, nope. Are you a prophet? No. Absolutely not. Who are you? Just a servant of the living God. What happened to him? I said, the Bible called that a fiery dart. Fiery? Thank you. A fiery dart. Thank you. What do you mean? I said, why don't you come to church? Will you? You're on somebody's clock right now, getting paid to work. Come to church. I gave her my card. Come listen to me. I'll give you more detail. I just want to understand what happened. I said, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:16 that mankind can be attacked by fiery dart, or also called flaming arrow, Ephesians 6:16. Ephesians 6:16. Yeah, let's go to the New King James. It's okay. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all Somebody said, well, I thought you say that the devil cannot touch us. He cannot. So how come you say that this man was touched? I don't know about the life of this man. But in this very scripture, he proves that the devil cannot touch us. When you and I put on a shield of faith, not talk, not mumble jumble. I was looking to the Greek word shield. It's a piece of equipment the size of a door that you hide yourself behind it. So when the fiery or the flaming arrow comes, it hits the door and drops. We are still together, right? Well, when you and I take the word of God and speak the word of God on a daily basis, it will build up faith. The more we speak, the more we do the word of God, the bigger the shield will be. So when the devil loses his flaming arrows, it will hit the shield and drop right to the ground. And this is why I say the devil cannot touch a godly person. Are you with me here? So you say, so what do you want me to do? I don't want you to do anything. But it would be nice if you can't speak the word that you would say, I take the shield of faith. Come on. I take the shield of faith. And I quench every flaming arrow. That piece of garbage you send my way. In Jesus' name. Plain and simple. You know, it's on the book. We got to learn how to speak the word of God. We got to learn how to do. Then somebody might say, well, what if, and only what if one air escape and hit me? You speak unto it. Do the word of God. Does this make sense? So I say, oh, Lord, I have a pain here. Maybe I have a gallstone. Idiotic statement. I speak the word of God. Plain and simple. Or is there another scripture that I can speak that goes along with this? I kind of got scared now. And this is why. When they come with that nonsense, that garbage, oh, it's flu season, you gotta take shot. Baloney. You think that I'm gonna inject myself with Qatar and all that garbage? It ain't gonna happen. Oh, it's flu season, you're dealing with people. You forget one thing. I deal with God every morning too. I'm pumped up, boosted up every morning, so when I deal with you, I'm protected. I choose to believe in that. So we will speak the word of God. We will do the word of God so that when this kind of garbage comes, we can overcome. Watch this. Brother, can you put up there Psalms 91:10? It goes right along. To prove the point, no evil shall befall you. Is that right? Nor shall any plague. Tell your neighbor, sickness can come close to your house. When you're hidden under his wing. Give me the backslider translation here, brother. I love this. Let's read it together. Evil. Harm. We're going to speak the word of God and evil cannot go through the door. It's on the book. You want to see how nice it gets? Give me the next verse, brother. Watch this. Verse 11. He ordered his angels. Tell them that we've got the best protection on the planet. God's angel, huh? So what you're saying, preacher? What I'm saying is that we're going to proclaim that we are taking the shield of faith. And we will quench every fiery dart that piece of garbage send our way. Useless punk. You know what? Put Proverbs 12:28 up there. Let's read it. In the way of righteousness is life, and its pathway. You got that? Your pathway has only life, no death. And I don't think that I'm gonna die until my day arrives. I chose to believe that. Amen. The book says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. So if the doctor said, I'm going to die tomorrow, I said, you're an idiot. You did not create me. You don't have a book with my days written in it. You can't put a tag on my life. Amen. Plain and simple. On the other hand, if I am sick, they can put 25 tubes on me with all kind of vitamins, medicine. If my day to go is tomorrow, there ain't no tube, no medicine, no vitamin that can keep me here because the day has been assigned. Are you with me here? Therefore, you and I are not only going to do the word, we're going to speak the word. You know, a lot of people in the church are afraid of the devil. Lots of people are afraid of the devil. Somebody recently came, can you come to my house and pray over my house? So, excuse me? Are you the pastor? I said, yes, I am. Can you come to my house and pray my house? Well, I don't do that if somebody's not a member of my congregation. Do you go to church? Yes. Did you ask your pastor? Oh, he don't believe in this thing. So what you doing there then? I mean, you want to go and clean your garbage? If your pastor don't believe on that, what are you doing there? By the way, why do you want me to come and pray in your house? I don't know. I get some devils in my house. I say, really? So you live with the devil? No, I don't. But what? I don't know. I'm hearing things in my house. You're hearing things. Ha. Huh. Now, can I lead you to Christ? Excuse me? I'm a Christian. Then I'm thinking, something is not adding up here. I beg your pardon. So Jesus said in John, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. Isn't that right? And he goes on to say, they do not hear the voice of the stranger because they don't know the voice of the stranger. And you say you're hearing things in your house and you think it's the devil. There's something fishy here. Well, can you come or what? Say, actually, no. I don't want to come. How much you want? I said, I'm not coming. So she got into the car, slammed the door, and left. Somebody will say, man, you were too harsh. That's not how you treat people. Yes, that's how you treat. Get your life together. The word is in the book. Now, you live in a new mess. And you come and you want me to go and clean your mess so you can continue to be messed up. It ain't going to work. A lot of people fail to understand that when you are praying for people, virtue gets out of you. So, where you get that from? From Jesus. He's walking in and the multitude is a throng coming. And, you know, everybody's squeezing left and right. But that little girl said, if I can just touch it. I'm going to be healed. Now, this woman had whatever it takes to get healed faith. You know what I mean? Can you just imagine? People could just walk upon her and kill her. We're talking about thousands of people walking behind the master. She said, I got to get there. I got to get there. And she made her way. Maybe she crawled. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed instantly. Jesus stopped. Who touched me? Peter said, are you kidding me? Look at this. We've got thousands of people after you. And you ask them, who touched me? Jesus, Somebody touched me because virtue came out of me. And the Bible says that woman came shaking and trembling. I did, Lord. You know, you see, I had a flux of blood for 18 years. And I was a rich woman, you know. The doctors got richer and I got sickier. And I had no other way to go. So I thought, if I could only touch the hem of your garments, I would be healed. Jesus looked at her and smiled, daughter, your faith has saved you. Not healed. She was already healed. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And she went on. What you're saying? When the people is being healed, virtue gets out of us. And then you want to tell me that you are there watching Twilight Zone and watching all that garbage horror movies and whatnot, and you spend 4 hours on UTV and come back to church on Sunday, forget your Bible at home, and now being molested by demons, and you want me to go up there and clean up the mess. It ain't going to work. Absolutely not. So you're saying that you're not going, I will go to somebody in my congregation. And we get them and the house delivered. Why? Doesn't the Bible say in Psalms 34:7, that the angel of the Lord encamp around those who fear him? So if there is demons in people's house, that means there ain't no angels of God around. Which means you're watching what you shouldn't be watching, or you're doing what you shouldn't be doing in your house. I knew a sis going to church, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and flip back and up, upside down, and they sold weed in her house. Oh, brother, this is opia. God created it. I said, God also created the devil. Are you going to take a date with him? You can hear so much ridiculous thing. So what you're saying, preacher? What I'm saying is this. On the path of a righteous man, there is life. Not death. Because the angel of God encamps around people who fear him. So we have no reason to be afraid of the devil. Did you know that 1 John chapter 5 tells us clearly that the devil cannot teach you, touch you. 1 John 5, starting verse 17, has a very unique perspective of life. All unrighteousness is sin. Unrighteousness, yes. Wickedness, perversion is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. Whoa. So what are the sins that lead to death? That's a new point. We're going to talk about it another day. On verse 18, he goes this way. We know that whoever is born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. See what I'm saying? This is why I say if you are born of God, you're not going to be messing up with things that you're not supposed to. You know what I mean? And he goes on to say, and the wicked one, say it again, and the wicked one, then tell him, the devil cannot touch you. He knows better. You and I have no business to be afraid of demons. Actually, when somebody is in need of help because there's some demon possession, you're supposed to be excited. Oh, boy, I'm going to kick them right now. And you're supposed to be excited and go out and take care of business. Why? Because the wicked one does not touch us. But even yet on the book of 1 John, I want to take you to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Tell your neighbor, we are of God. Tell yourself, I am of God.
I am of God.
It says in here, you are of God, little children. And what else?
Have overcome them.
Because. As a child of God, you have overcome every demon out there. So don't you ever, 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 ever messed up being afraid of demons. The book says that you have overcome them. And even if you don't believe in this, even if you don't believe in this, he goes on to say that he who is in you is greater than the devil. Tell him that my God is bigger than the devil. Or any other demon that there is. Therefore, beloved one, you and I are going to change the way that we talk about things. We're going to always say, I am of God. And I have overcome Satan. My God is greater than anything else in the world. There's a new surge on evil all over the planet. The horror movies that are coming out is getting worse by the day. Why? Because the devil wants to keep people in fear. The problem is that the church don't know the Bible. Watch this. Galatians 1:4, brother. Give me the New Living Translation to start with. Read it with me. Jesus gave his life for our sin, just as God our Father planned, in order to you're rescued. Say, I'm rescued from the world. Now, for those people that suffer from addiction, that's baloney. Well, you don't know because you have never been addicted. Who told you that? I don't think none of you here were as addicted as us. How many of you here, you smoke 3 cartons of cigarettes a day? 60 cigarettes a day. None of you. Sometimes you did, huh? So talk about addiction. On the moment, growing up as a secular Jew, I never knew anything about Bible. But on the moment that somebody told me that my Messiah could set me free from the power of addiction, I jump on it. And you know what? 38 years has gone. The pastor who led me to Christ never knew that I smoked. Why? On the moment that I gave my life to Jesus, he rescued me from this evil world in which we live. I'm just saying, preacher, you have no business to be entangled with the world. But everybody is doing. Well, you're going to go where everybody else is going to. What Jesus said? Wider is the door that leads into condemnation. And many are the ones going through it. When you came to Christ, you have been rescued from the garbage out there. So there's no excuse. Well, preacher, no. I'm stopping smoking bit by bit. That's baloney. You're giving your heart to Jesus bit by bit. And you're going to have some dollar store preacher. Well, preacher, people are different, you know. Some people react different. The power of God works in the same way in every life that surrender to themselves to him. Plain and simple. God is not limited to the different kind of temperaments. When the power of God hits, it hits. How much am I willing to surrender is what is going to determine how much freedom I get. Are we together here? So then, I want you to say with me in a very, very, very simple voice. I am delivered from the evils of this present world. Because this is the will of God. Galatians 1:4. And I'm going to wrap up right now with a very simple scripture. God has called you to freedom. Say amen.
Amen.
God has never desired that his people lived under oppression. Can I hear an amen again?
Amen.
Therefore, it is registered in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 14, the following words. Let's become a little holy here, then we come back. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from, for you shall not fear. And from terror, what you're saying, preacher? It says that we shall be far from oppression. Say it with me. I am far from oppression.
And fear will not come near me.
Isaiah 54:14. 54:14. Say it with me again. I am far from oppression.
And fear shall not come near me.
Isaiah 54:14. What you're saying, preacher? You and I have no business to live any oppressed life. Devil cannot be oppressed in your mind. Devil cannot be oppressed in your life. The word is clear. We shall be far from oppression. Plain and simple. Why do we make things so complicated? It's on the book, clear as it can be. Say with me, I am far from oppression.
I am far from oppression.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
So what is the conclusion for this whole thing today, preacher? The conclusion is going back to James 1:22. Put the New Living Translation there to make everybody understand. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. Say it with me, starting from now.
I'm
going to
do
everything God's word says.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, let's bless the Lord with an offering. Huh?